May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 239. The Lamb is exalted, repentance to give, that sin may be hated, while sinners believe. Contrition is granted and God justified. The sinner is humbled and self is denied. Hymn 239.
Thank you. us read together from the Word of God in the first book of Kings in chapter 19. The first book of the Kings, chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise, and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise, and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel and Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehiel shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us to pray. Kind and gracious Lord God, through thy mercy and goodness, we have favoured once more to come again into thy courts, to this chapel, Lord, where thou hast met and where thou dost meet with thy people still. And we ask and pray, dear Lord Jesus, thou wilt come and meet with us this day. Lord, we are poor sinners, but we come pleading that the name of Jesus, plead thy gracious help, thy presence, and thou art indeed open to us the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing upon our heart and souls this day. Oh, we seek a portion for our souls. Dear Lord, it's already been acknowledged by our friend and brother in prayer in the vestry that we fast hasten on to eternity. And Lord, we pray then that thou fit us and prepare us for heaven and for glory. Ah, Lord, it is a very solemn thought, but it may be so. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we know of those that were in the house of God one Lord's day, but before the next, they being called away from time to eternity. And Lord, and since we know not when that moment should come, then, dear Lord, may this day be used of thee to fit us and prepare us for heaven, for glory. We may indeed have our receipt stamped and marked paid in the Redeemer's blood. O gracious Lord, do hear our prayer. Forbid it, Lord, that any of us here, Lord, should be found wanting, should be found weighed in the balances and found wanting. Gracious Lord, then do hear our prayer, and oh, to be prepared of thee, prepared for heaven, prepared for glory, then do help us. Ah, Lord, it may be that perhaps a good number, Lord, do not feel to be prepared. And we ask and pray, Lord, that thou wilt have mercy on our souls and do bless. Then draw near and nigh to us and help us, Lord, that we may be granted that true spirit of worship even this day. Lord, we've sung in our opening hymn about the Lamb's exalted repentance to give. And Lord, we ask and pray that thou would indeed give and grant to each and every one that true godly sorrow and repentance over our sin and our iniquity, that we may have the broken heart, the contrite spirit. David speaks of the sacrifices of God being a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And dear Lord, thou hast left on sacred record by thy servant the prophet Isaiah, and unto this man will I look, even to him that is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Lord, then may we have this precious gift, God-given godly sorrow and repentance, that repentance that needs not to be repented of. Then draw near and nigh, dear Lord Jesus, and do be our helper, we pray thee. We pray then that thou wouldst come and reveal thyself to our heart and souls, the hope of eternal glory. We may have a good hope through grace, a hope that our names are indeed found, recorded in some humble place beneath the Saviour's blood, found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, do hear our prayer. Oh, and it may be, Lord, the concern of each and every one, from eldest down to the very youngest. Lord, that so that we're prepared of thee, Lord, to come and stand before thy face. And oh, we pray, dear Lord Jesus, that thou wilt show thyself unto us as that lovely, loving man, that one sacrifice, the Lamb of God, that offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and all uncleanness. May we know, Lord Jesus, that thou wast and art indeed our sacrifice. We pray, dear Lord, then that thou help us and be with us. We're asking, Lord, for some great things, and things, Lord, that we cannot give to ourselves. But we come today, Lord, pleading that thou would indeed have mercy upon our souls. Thou would abundantly bless us then with these riches of thy grace. We come to thee then, praying thou wilt then open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon each and every one this day, so that, Lord, those that have come seeking a portion for their souls may have that crumb of mercy from the Master's table. And those, Lord, oh, that we are, pray that there may not be any, but Lord, should there be any, Lord, that have come in unconcerned, thinking, well, it's just another Sunday, better go to chapel, Ah, Lord, we pray that thou wilt change that heart, thou wilt meet with that soul, thou wilt draw near to them, thou wilt abundantly bless them, so that they go home crying, give me Christ, or else I die. Then hear our prayers. Now, Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt meet the cases of thy people. Thou knowest just how each one has come to chapel this morning, and thou knowest and has heard the prayers that have been put up unto thee. Ah, the prayers, Lord, that perhaps began since last Lord's Day, Lord, have gone on through the week, intensified as the week's gone on, and perhaps were reached a great climax, as it were, on the past day, or even in the night. Lord, they've come now, Lord, that want to hear thy voice, want something for their never-dying souls, want some blessed word of divine direction, some word to seal home that they are indeed children of God, that they may know that they are thy sons and daughters. Lord, then do meet with such, we pray, and oh, that they may not be empty, sent away. Then hear our prayers. We ask and pray then that thou be very near and gracious to each and all. We do thank thee, Lord, for all the mercies and kindness bestowed upon us, day by day and hour by hour, the things of providence and of grace. Oh, we thank thee for the supply of our daily needs, our food, drink, raiment, the roof over our heads, the beds to lie on, the many mercies indeed we have. Health and strength, greater, lesser degree, as thou seest fit. Oh, and we pray that thou then hear us. We pray for the children, the little ones, and the young ones here, Lord. Pray that thou would abundantly bless their souls and grant them, dear Lord, those sweet evidences that they have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bless them indeed. May they have an aching void that this world cannot fill. May their soul be on the stretch to find Christ. May it be pressing forward toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Lord, do work in their hearts. Do bless their souls. And pray thou wilt draw near now. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou remember each and all. There are those, Lord, that come bringing their afflictions with them. They're perhaps in poor and weak health in some way or other. Lord, we pray thou graciously strengthen and that thou wilt be very near. Dear Lord, we pray that thou remember then each and all. We think of others, Lord. Some of thy people, Lord, some of thy servants, Lord, that are laid aside in sickness and affliction's path, to put thy hand, to heal, to restore, to raise up to health and strength, we pray, and be with them. Then, Lord, there are those, Lord, that walk in bereavement's path. Ah, Lord, since last Lord's Day, they now walk in bereavement's path. Some, dear Lord, are made widows. Some are made widowers. We ask that thou remember each and all. Do abundantly bless. Do be very near to them. Comfort their hearts. May they not mourn as those that mourn without hope. And be with them and undertake for them. And, dear Lord, do then remember not only the widows and the widowers. Remember those that have lost mother, father, brother, sister, child, grandchild. Oh, and we think, Lord, of the grandchild that has lost the grandparent. And thou knowest what this means to them. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou then comfort each mourning, sorrowful heart at this time, and be gracious to them, and do help. Now, Lord, as our nation to pray for, what do we say? How do we plead with thee, Lord, for such a sinful land and nation as we are? Oh, Lord, do arise for our help. Indeed, Lord, thy judgments have been abroad in our land of recent times. And yet, Lord, man still goes on in sin and iniquity. Oh, dear Lord, they do not hear thy voice. But Lord, thy word says they will not hear, but they shall hear. Oh, we ask thee to remember us in thy mercy. Oh, and that turn us again as a nation unto God and to godliness. And oh, that, dear Lord, we, professing people of God, Lord, may we set a right example to others around us, our neighbours. And oh, we pray that there may be, Lord, a gracious work of thy Holy Spirit, so that many will be convinced of sin, may be converted by the power and the unction of thy Holy Spirit. Then, gracious Lord, do hear our prayers. Pray then that thou remember now, and do hear prayer for those then that rule over us. Open their eyes. Turn them, Lord, again. O Lord, we fear that they do not fear thy name. Lord, but thou art able to change. And thou art able, Lord, to raise up for us men of God that do and shall fear thy name. Then hear our prayers. Now, Lord, remember others in the world. There's war, there's bloodshed. Lord, there's things, Lord, that we do not understand. We do pray thou art help us commit all into thy hand. Then do we a prayer. And now, Lord, we would not forget, Lord, those that have left and forsaken the house of God. Those, Lord, that have long since they've come to the chapel, to the church. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou would change their hearts. Bring them back again. Snatch them as brands from the burning. Make them trophies of grace. Dear Lord, do graciously work in their hearts. Appear to them and for them. Hear us then in heaven, thy dwelling place. Help us then commit all into thee and into thy hand. Pray then that thou remember this cause of troth, to bless them together, to bind them in love and unity, the bond of peace. Make thy goodness pass before them. And Lord, and do grant that may be souls for hire and seals unto the ministry here. Bless thy servants as they come here to preach. Oh, that may be granted grace and help and liberty, and that the word may not return unto thee void, but it accomplish that whereto thou pleasest to send it. Dear Lord, do help our friends, brothers in office here, undertake for them, we pray, in all their cares, responsibilities, and be near them. Help us then to pray one for another. Ah, Lord, and if one or another thinks they've been forgotten, oh, that they may not be forgotten of thee. But someone says the prodigals have been prayed for, those that have left the chapel, the sick have been prayed for, the bereaved have been prayed for. I come in and out to the chapel and nobody thinks about me. Oh, Lord, do visit such. Lord, do remember them with that favour thou bearest to thy people and thy children. Then hear our poor prayers. Accept our humble thanks for all the mercy and kindness, blessings bestowed. Pardon our every sin and iniquity. Wash and cleanse us in the fountain of thine own heart's blood, dear Lord Jesus. And now, dear Lord, do come. fulfill thy word, thy promise once more. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar and draw near. Ah, Lord, we plead with the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 895. Awful is thy threatening, Lord. Let me mark the solemn word, what the righteous ruler saith. Wages due to sin is death. Hymn 895.
in dependence upon the Lord, for all needed help. I ask your very prayerful attention to the chapter we read, 1 Kings chapter 19, and the last clause of verse 12. 1 Kings 19, and the last clause of verse 12. And after the fire, a still small voice. And after the fire, a still small voice. Here is God's dear servant, Elijah. Here he is, doing his bidden here, standing in the entrance to the cave that he had fled to. I don't know about you, but we read these accounts here and perhaps we don't think too much. We read the names of these places. As we do here, the previous chapter, where Elijah has indeed slain the prophets of Baal, and he's brought them down to Kishon, the brook there, and slew them, and himself has now gone to Carmel, and when the rain comes, then he runs to Jezreel. Now, just very briefly, why, here he was, Carmel, Kishon, Carmel, something like just the nearest point, about 5 miles distance. But then he comes from Carmel down to Jezreel. Distance of about 25 miles. He's now here and he receives this threat from Jezebel. And he comes to Beersheba. He flees for his life. Beersheba, which is belongeth to Judah. Something like 120 miles. But he doesn't stay there. He goes down here to Mount Horeb, another 100, 150 miles, and later here he's go back to Damascus, 400 miles. Our friends, these things are well worthy of our note. That these things, it wasn't just from Swayze over to Cambridge. No. It was, the journey is too great for thee. And he was to eat and drink. Yes. And you know, my God shall supply all your need. And here the Lord supplied the need of his servant Elijah. There was the cruse of water, yes, and there was a cake, bacon on the coals, a cruse of water by his head. Here he had been sleeping under the juniper tree. Ah, friends, yes, my God shall supply all your needs. Why, Elijah, was it not that there was the brook that would not dry up, and he was to go, yes, then into the town, to the village, and there was a widow woman, and there will I sustain thee. And dear soul, it's still the same blessed God today, whom we desire to worship and adore. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever situation you and I might be in, or whatever situation you and I might come into, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Yes, why, your heart and mine might say, well, no, there is nothing too hard. But friends, sometimes there is the walking of these things out. It's when, we indeed have to cast all our care upon Him. When we are compelled to look up unto the hills from whence cometh our help. When we are compelled to be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, here, dear Elijah, he rose, he did, he drank. He went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. He's right down now in the south. Carmel is up in the north. He's now come down the south and he's here in Horeb. And he lodges here in a cave. And an angel comes to him and asks this question, what doest thou here, Elijah? It was very personal. He was indeed the only one there. But the angel sees fit to address him by name. What doest thou here, Elijah? Well, he tells his reason. He's very jealous. The Lord God of hosts, the children of Israel, forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He's fled here because, you think, he's slain 400 prophets of Baal. Yes, the Lord has stood by him. And a woman, yes, and a very, very wicked woman at that, Jezebel, she sends a message. Oh, and he flees for his life. Well, here he is then. And the angel says to him, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. He's now commanded to go and stand upon the Mount Horeb. Yes, I reminded the word, and there I will meet with thee, and there I will commune with thee. There I will meet with thee. So he goes, and why? Yes, there's the wind that rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. There's the earthquake, the Lord's not in the earthquake. There's a fire, but the Lord's not in the fire. But after the fire, a still small And it may be to you, dear soul, a still small voice, but it's a very, very powerful voice. It's a very, very powerful voice. And God's dear people, yes, are caused to hear this voice. Sinners are caused to hear this voice. Sinners dead in trespasses and sins are caused to hear this voice. Ah, the soul that sins against me shall die. I think I probably have mentioned there before, it just comes to mind, that now I, when there was a voice spoke most powerfully within my heart, when I had, as a lad, stolen 6 pence, 2.5 pence in today's money, from a newsstand. And I walked away. And I could take you there now to the curbstone that I was about to cross the road. And that voice, thou shalt not steal. Ah. A fire, a still, small voice. I draw this bow at a venture. Is there one in here this morning, young or old, whereby the Lord has spoken, yes, very powerfully, but with a still small voice, yes, into your heart, and convinced you of your sin, of your transgression, or whatever it might be. But dear soul, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? What was the first hymn this morning just comes to mind? Here, why, the Lamb is exalted, repentance to give, that sin may be hated. That sin may be hated. Oh, that the Lord indeed will, a still small voice, yes, that, and the conviction of it, yes, in your heart and mine, may cause us to hate sin, to abhor, to detest sin. One says, doesn't he, in a hymn, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. I hate the sins. You see, there's this small voice convincing of sin. That, yes, causes us to return unto God. I hope it does. I hope you don't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, other people do this sort of thing. And you and I haven't got an answer for other people. You and I have got to answer for our sins, our iniquities. We have to come and stand before the God of all truth alone. Yes, one day we shall have to stand before God, the judgment seat of Christ. And how are we going to answer? If there has never ever been any repentance, any godly sorrow in our heart on account of our sinnership. Yes, I often think, and probably have referred to this before, but perhaps we need reminding of it. The dear woman that was taken in that sinful act of adultery, there were those that brought her to Christ. Now, they're the ones I want to look at the moment. They were convinced of their sin by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He that without sin, let him cast the first stone, said Jesus to them. Now, being convicted in their own hearts, they went out one by one. Now, where do you and I stand? Where do you and I stand? Young man, young woman, old man, old woman, that includes myself. Where does the conviction of sin bring you and I to? Still small voice. You go back to the book of Genesis. A still small voice to our first parents in the Garden of Eden, that thou shalt not eat of the tree, of the fruit of the tree in the centre of the garden. And you and I know by the reading of God's word that's just what they did. And they sin, and you and I have sinned. It's been a still small voice. Oh, that it may constantly, can I put it like this, be a very nagging voice within you, within your heart. So that it gives you no rest, no peace. So that it causes you to come to the Lord in prayer, in confession of sin. Not to be left like those that went out, being convicted in their own hearts. You see, you think of it. They were convinced and convicted of their sinnership by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And yet, we don't read of one of them ever returning, pleading for peace, pardon, forgiveness. Now, I dare say, all here this morning, except perhaps the very little ones, will understand, will know, realise that they have sinned, that they've done wrong. What is it doing? What does the knowledge of that wrong do in your heart and mine? I don't know why I can't move away from this. But what is it doing? Oh, to fall down before him. Yes, you can look at the Bible. You can read about David. You can read about the children of Israel murmuring. You can read about the dying thief on the cross at Calvary. And you can read about a good many others. And their sin and their iniquity. And perhaps you're saying, and they were saved at last. Yes. Dear soul, what are you putting off? What are you putting off? You're saying, well, you know, I'll think about those things in a few years' time. Who said you're going to be here in a few years' time? Who said you're going to be here next week? Who said we're going to be here tomorrow. Friend, I know these things are solemn and maybe certain, and they should be. They should be. But, oh, the still small voice of conviction. That we have done wrong. There's something wrong in our lives. Sinner, you go home and you get down on your knees and you pray to the God of heaven. You seek the face of Jesus. And you know what the publican's prayer was? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, the prayer of the dying thief on the cross. Yes. Remember me. Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, the dear Lord Jesus now is in his kingdom. But he lives there. He lives there to intercede for us with cries and groans which cannot be uttered. He regards the prayer of the destitute and he doesn't despise their prayer. He does. Oh, he does regard the prayer of the destitute. Oh, personally, I've been so thankful for the words that, and I quoted them, I believe, a moment ago in prayer here. I turn it over so as I quote it now correctly. Right here in Isaiah 66. The things that God has seen and made. But then he says to us this in the second verse here of Isaiah 66. It saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him. A still small voice. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. To this man will I look. The pawn of a contrite spirit that trembled. Yes, he looks in pity. He looks in love. He looks with peace. He looks with pardon. He looks with forgiveness. Dear Peter knew this, poor man. He denied he knew anything about the Lord. And the Lord turned and looked upon him. And God's word, unto this man will I look, even to him. Poor though I am, despised for God, yet Jesus, my Lord, forgets me not. Dear soul, and perhaps the adversary of your soul and mine is tempting you at the very present moment and saying, yes, but you are too bad. You're too wretched. You cannot be saved. You're lost. The adversary is a liar. And as far as we can tell, he's been at it now for 6,000 years approximately. And he's a master at it.
But he's still a liar. He's still a liar. He says you cannot be saved. This still small voice that convinced you and I of our sin. And the Lord says by his dear servant that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Still small voice. If we confess our sins, he is. Some little words there with profound meaning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I'm God and there is none else. A still small voice. You know, dear Moses comes to mind, and this indeed, of course, was also at Mount Horeb, where the Lord, Mount Sinai, yes, Mount Horeb, where the Lord delivered the law unto Moses, and then when this was delivered, why, there was the earthquakes, there was the fire, the mountain smoke, the people saw it, they moved, they stood afar off, they feared. But Moses went into the thick darkness where God was. There's an arbitrant. And here, dear Elijah, is to stand here then, on the mount, before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by. He passed by. There was the rocks, there was the earthquake, there was the wind, there was the fire. But after all this, there's a still small boy. And here's all. And this voice, this all is the voice of the Son of God. The voice, the glorious gospel, yes, of Jesus. The voice that says, yes, come now. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And ye shall. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. A still small voice. Yes, dear soul, to this man will I look. That's there then, the last chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. But dear soul, what does the Lord say to his people? In the first chapter, he says this, come now, and let us reason to the still small voice. Oh, friend, the blessed, glorious invitations of the gospel, which are to poor sinners, the sinners that feel their need of a saviour, of a redeemer, of ones that say, "O wretched man that I am," of sinners that cry, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," of those that look up unto the hills from whence cometh their help. The Lord says, "Come now, and let us reason together. Let us." Divine, holy, offended majesty, and a poor, guilty sinner, let us reason together. You see, dear soul, the poor sinner has a blessed mediator. One that, yes, pleads their cause. What is it the dear prophet here in the Lamentations of Jeremiah? Why, he says this, "The Lord, O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Come now." Oh, these are how soft the words my Saviour speaks. How kind the promises he makes. The bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Yes, the Lord says, "Though your sins be as scarlet." Well, look at this cushion here, Bible cushion here. Deep red. What one of us could ever wash this clean and make, well, I don't mean it dirty, forgive me that, but whatever one of us could wash this and make it white. Not one of us. Oh, but, dear soul, that's how your sin and mine look in the eyes of a holy God. Deep dyed sins. But the Lord says, "Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Still small voice. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Still small voice. Thy sins are all forgiven thee. They were the words of Jesus, were they not, to a poor woman? Thy sins are all forgiven. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Yes, a still small voice. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It is though the Lord desires to graciously assure a poor sinner that their sins are scarlet, their sins as crimson, why, deep dyed sins. Yes, and his word assures, still small voice, His word assures a sinner that all their sin will be forgiven. All their sin will be pardoned. Will I be forgiven? Is forgiven. Jesus saw me when a stranger wandering. Yes, dear soul, that's you and I, isn't it? Wandering from the fold. Jesus saw me when a stranger wandering from the fold. Sought me. Why? Yes, lines have gone from mine, but here. Jesus saw me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Let us reason together. The dear Lord then is there, the Saviour, the Redeemer. Yes, to plead the cause of his people. Why, you see, he's paid the price of the redemption of his people with his own heart blood. Yes, sinners sunk in sin's tremendous cell, he's paid the price of the redemption of their soul. Yes, the very, very worst of sinners. The very worst of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the apostle says, of whom I am chief. Of whom I am chief. And when the Lord draws near, dear soul, and reveals himself to you, and you and I hear those words of pardon and forgiveness to your heart and your soul, the soft words, the still small voice, the powerful voice of the Lord. Why then, dear soul, you say, your sins are all forgiven. All pardoned, all washed away. He pleads the causes of my soul. Dear soul, where did he plead those causes? Go back to Isaiah 53. What is recorded there of the work of redemption and salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the still small voice. See, that voice, this hour, was heard in Gethsemane's garden. That's where it was heard. Yes, in Gethsemane's garden, where and when the dear Lord Jesus was there, with his mouth in the dust, the travail of his soul, agony of soul and spirit. And he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Then the beautiful language. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, as Jesus saw me when a stranger, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Amazing grace. When Jesus was there in Gethsemane's garden in prayer to his Father, then that he should think upon poor sinners sitting in Swasey Chapel this Lord's Day morning. Yes, think, nevertheless, not my will, poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He thought upon us. When there his sufferings were so intent. He loves his people. He loves his people, great and small, and grasping hard, embraces all and nor with a soul will part. Toils through life, pants through death, cries with his expiring breath, 'tis finished and complete. Still small voice, the voice that was heard in heaven when Jesus died there, this all on Calvary's cross. When he cried, it is finished, salvation's work was done. Yes, and there atonement was made for sin. There a divine majesty was satisfied. The God-man, Emmanuel, God with us, paying the price, the redemption of his people with his own heart blood. The sacrifice of a sweet smelling savour. This says God to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear his word. His words of love and of mercy are a still small voice. A still small voice. A voice of salvation. They go back to that dear one that we mentioned earlier. And those that were convinced of their sin. But go back now to the woman. Where these have all gone, the accusers. A still small voice. Hath no man condemned thee? No, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. She'll not commit that sin again. And you and I looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A still small voice. This voice of love and of mercy. This voice is so powerful. Yes, and it brings peace and reconciliation between divine holy majesty and a poor guilty sinner. See, he stands. He's there, this our Gethsemane's garden. Is there judgment hall? Is there on the cross at Calvary? Is there this hope in the sinner's place, room and stead? And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretched nest and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Yes. The Redeemer left his throne, his glorious throne. To suffer, bleed and die, yet in the sinner's place, room and stead. It brings peace and reconciliation. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made the church's everlasting head. Sinner, look up. I exhorted you a little while ago to go home on your knees. Get home and get on your knees. Yes, dear soul. And find mercy for your poor, never dying soul. The still small voice, the voice of love, the voice of mercy, the voice of peace, the voice of pardon, the voice of forgiveness. And dear soul, and what will he do for you and I? A still small voice. When we've heard his voice, why, dear soul, yes, we shall want all the world to know what a blessed Saviour, a glorious Redeemer we have found. I'll point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Yes, Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He and he alone, to save my soul from danger, interpose his precious blood. Yes. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Yes, dear soul, you've opened your mouth wide in prayer and supplication to the God of heaven, to the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Dear soul, you'll open your mouth wide now in thanksgiving and praise unto him that loved you and gave himself for you. Why me? Why me? O blessed God, why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? A still, small voice. Friends, I had no thoughts of saying one word that I've said this morning. The Lord knows. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £670, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Field will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 1035. Return, my wandering heart, to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. Hymn 1035.
bless thy word. To be with us now throughout the remainder of the day, the Sunday school and here this evening, and particularly around thy table. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.